Thank you, team. We need to speak his name this week. Take your Bible and turn to the first page of it, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to ask you to read there in a moment. Most of you could quote this out of your heart. We're praying and believing God for a movement, for a fresh move of the Spirit of God. I shared this idea, thought of having a multi-night meeting with our team many, many months ago. They came back to me and said, Pastor, let's don't call it a revival, let's call it movement. Everybody's praying for a spiritual awakening, a move of God. So let's call it movement. And so we did. And we created a big problem in the church because nobody knew what it was. And everybody kept asking, what is that? What is that? I said, well, it's like an old-fashioned revival. Well, why didn't you call it that? I said, because the under 40 crowd didn't want to call it that. Call it what you might. We need the wind of God. We need the freshness of the Lord. Edwin Orr, years ago, when asked, what is revival? He said, it's a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. When God's presence shows up, there is a refreshing. Revival is simply a return to the normal Christian life. Oh, if I've heard it once, you've heard it, as I have, again and again. Well, I'll be glad when things get back to normal. Friend, what we need is the normal Christian life, and it's been so long since we've seen it, sometimes we can't even recognize it. The normal Christian life is walking in the fullness of the Holy Ghost of God, walking by faith, where Jesus is exalted and lifted high. We're praying for that during these days. Will it come? Only God knows. A sweeping spiritual awakening is sovereign, but a personal revival you can have. You can have, matter of fact, you do have all of Jesus you want right now. And if you'll cry out unto him, he will move in you. And if he moves in you, he may just move in us. When God moves, that's my message this morning. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. You know this text where the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving. The Spirit of God was moving. The Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. When God's Spirit moves, he always is creating. It was formless and void, and the Spirit of God moved across the waters, and he began to create. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, you got here, we got here. And on the seventh day, he paused, took a Sabbath, and rested. But when God moves, he creates. I want to show you three things that if God moves in your life, he will always create. As we delve into the Word of God, if God moves this week, if we see a movement of God this morning, at 11 tonight, sometime, at midnight in your life, I don't know, but when God moves, he's always in the creating business. Number one, when God creates, or when God moves, he creates new people. Look in Ephesians 4 with me in verse 22, 23, and 24, where the Word of God says, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created, there's our word, in righteousness and holiness of the truth. God has created the new self in righteousness and holiness of the truth. When God moves, He creates new people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, He says it this way, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Listen, when God moves, old people become new people, lost people become saved people, unregenerate people become regenerate people. And when God moves, He begins to save the lost. And what happens when you get saved? The old man is taken away and the new man comes. What happens when you get saved is you take off your grave clothes. You remember Lazarus? Lazarus died. Jesus showed up late, but right on time. Mary Martha said, oh, Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. He went to the grave and said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says in John 11:44 that when he came bound hand and foot, Jesus said to those around him, take those clothes off of him. Take his grave clothes off. Let me tell you, friend, when you get saved, God takes your grave clothes off. The old man's done away and the new man comes forward. Now I want to ask you today, everybody in this room, everybody watching online, on television, listening, on radio, whether you're in Romania or in northern Alabama, Texas, across the panhandle of Florida, or in this very room, I want to ask you, can you take me to a place and tell me of a time where God slayed the old man and you became the new man? Can you take me to a time when God stepped out of heaven and stepped into your heart? Can you take me to a time, show me a place where you were born again? Let me tell you, when the Spirit of God moves, He creates new people. It was 1972. One of the greatest songwriters the world has ever known was writing. Kris Kristofferson. Oh, the godless music he wrote. That's my generation. You know, when Kristofferson left home, his mama told him, don't ever come back. He is a teenage boy. She said, you're ratting that stuff and you'll never amount to anything. Just don't even come home. One of his greatest songs, as far as sales, was Sunday Morning Coming Down. You may remember it. Sunday Morning Coming Down is about a drug addict. That he got up on Sunday morning and he's coming down the steps. And he talked about everything he saw. He said, the beer last night tastes so good, I had another one for breakfast this Sunday morning. He said, I just wished I was stoned. I saw the little boys and girls going to Sunday school. I just wish I was stoned. Kristofferson was the old man, godless, lost, long-haired hippie of the 60s and 70s, a prolific writer, absolutely genius in his lyrics. He finished a concert one Saturday night. He drove home to Nashville. And one of the ladies that had been with him in the concert that night said, "Chris, would you just go to church with me tomorrow?" And Christofferson went to the First Evangelical Church in Nashville, Tennessee. He said, "I sat on the back row." He said that preacher preached about a Jesus that I'd heard about as a little boy, hanging on the cross, rising from the dead. He said he got to the end and he asked everybody that wanted to get saved to walk down to the front. He said the next thing I knew, I was down at the front of that church house. He said, "I don't know how it happened." He said, I just got up and went. He said, "I knelt down." Now, I don't know if Chris Christofferson got saved or not. That's above my pay grade and above yours. But that night he took out his pen. He could write a song a minute. But he took out his pen and he started to write this song. "Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it so. Help me, Jesus. I know what I am. But now that I know I've needed you so, help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Lord, help me, Jesus." Some of you in this room watching online, today, you need to cry out, "Lord, help me, Jesus. I put my soul in your hand." The old self will be crucified and you will be made new in the forgiveness of your sin by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God moves, He creates new people every time. We call it evangelism, salvation, reconciliation. Just say, "Lord, help me, Jesus." And when you do, He will save you. You believe that, church? Amen. We're praying that He'd do it today for you, for you, for you. Say, "Preacher, you going to ask me?" Yes, sir, I'm going to ask you to come down here just like they did that day in 72 in Nashville. In a moment, to have that invitation, you need to get up and walk right here, walk to that table, walk to a table out in the foyer. And we'll help you come to know the Lord Jesus. When God moves, He creates new people. Secondly, listen to me, when God moves, He creates clean hearts, clean hearts. In Psalm 51 and verse number 10, we find David. He's committed adultery. He's a man after God's heart, but he saw Bathsheba walking. Some people say, "Well, Bathsheba shouldn't have been out there." Well, his eyes shouldn't have been out there. He saw her and he lusted after her, and you know the story. David was godless. He prayed this prayer, "Oh God, create," there's our word when God moves, "create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Some of you have been saved in this room today, but your heart's grown cold, hard, wicked, unbelieving. You've wandered away from God. When God moves, He will say to the church, "Repent! Repent! Repent!" And the Spirit of God draws us, and we come running home. "Do not let there be in you," the writer of Hebrews says, "an evil, unbelieving heart. Harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, when some died and fell in the wilderness." Don't have a hard heart. Mm-mm. Don't have a wandering heart where you just move away. Some of you raised in the church and you've meandered off. Don't have an evil heart. Don't have an unbelieving heart. Believe today. Say, Lord, I want to come home. You say, preacher, I've been saved. I know I've trusted the Lord, but I've just wandered. I've just kind of gone over there. Maybe it's adultery. Maybe it's drunkenness. Maybe it's cursing. Maybe it's selfishness. Maybe it's wrapped up in the world of money and finance. And that's come between you and your Savior. When God moves, He causes us to cry out, oh God, create in me a clean heart. Need your heart clean today, come run into the altar and repent. You don't need to have a hard heart, you need to have a flooded heart. It's in John 7. Verse 37, 38. It's the Feast of the Booths. You remember in the Old Testament, it's the last feast. And for 8 days, the Jews would build these little booths out of palm branches, and they'd move out of their house, and they'd move in these little booths. And they lived there all week for a celebration. And it taught them to remember what God did in the wilderness in bringing them out of Egypt through the 40 years of wilderness wandering into the promised land. And they'd build those little booths. And when they'd celebrate, every day they would have the choir and they would sing and they would walk. And then someone would go down to the pool of Siloam and they would get some water, and they'd bring it up to Jerusalem, and they would pour it in a silver pitcher. They did that on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, but on the 8th day, the last day of the feast, they did not go get the water. And tradition says, in John 7, verse 37, look at it. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, they're all there, but they don't pour the water. And Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Can you imagine? There's one old man, he's been to the Feast of the Booths for 50 years. This is the last day, and he says, well, we're almost done. And then all of a sudden, this young 30-some-odd-year-old man steps up, said, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. They didn't have symbolic water to pour. They had Jesus as the very fountain of life. And out of his innermost being is going to rush rivers, not a river, not the Mississippi, not the Tennessee, not the Nile, but rivers, plural. Out of that man will gush rivers of living water. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen. If you're a Christian, listen to me. If Jesus is not Lord of all, He is not Lord at all. No, sir. You may say, I'm a saved man, but I'm telling you, if Jesus is not Lord, the very word is contradictory to say Jesus is my Lord, but He's not in charge of it all. I mean, if He's Lord, He's Lord. But if He's not Lord of it all, I'm telling you, he's not Lord at all. The refreshing comes when God moves and we get honest and we're cleansed. And that standing between us and lordship is dealt with, confessed, put away. And out of our innermost being begins to flow rivers. I've prayed all my ministry. All my life, I've prayed, God, I want to see it again. I saw it once. I saw the dripping of real revival in the 70s. They called it a Jesus movement. Interesting word, amen. A movement of Jesus. It lasted years. I'm a product of that. Let me tell you, there are thousands, tens of thousands of men my age that are in ministry today because of the Jesus movement. They're all over the world. You know, when Jesus did that, it was different. At the Pisgah church where I was, they came, hair down here. That's the boys. No socks, weird looking shoes, jeans, except in the floor. At the Pisgah church, they sat on the floor. And some of the old-timers said, what's that bunch of idiots doing? They never been to church. They didn't know how to act. And I remember some old-timers said, get out of the way. The Holy Ghost is at work. Our job will be to disciple them, but God is doing a work that we've prayed for, drawing these young people out of a culture, a counterculture it was called. Sure, you think America's divided today? Go back to the Vietnam War era. Riots in the streets, burning stuff. There's nothing new to this. We've been here before. The answer is the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what will touch a culture. It's what touched it in the 70s. They put it on the cover of Time magazine. Jesus movement. And they put what they thought was a picture of Jesus. You know, all the old picture we see all the time with the long hair and the beard. So maybe that's him. I don't know. But everybody knows when you see it who that's supposed to be. And they put him on the cover. Jesus movement. Glory to God. Wouldn't it be something if Jesus showed up again on a national magazine cover? Because they had to cover it. Because of the move of Holy God. When God moves, He always is creating new people. When God moves, He is always cleaning hearts. And dear friend, if your heart's not clean before God, you ought to run to Him today. But there's a third thing He's doing. When God moves, not only does He create new people, not only when God moves does He create clean hearts, but when God moves, don't miss this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. When God moves, He creates a new church. Yes, He does. Look in Ephesians 2 and verse number 10, where the Bible says, "For we, the church, we are His workmanship." That word is poema, poema. We get our word poem out of it. We are His poem, created, there's our word, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When God moves, He is creating a church, His workmanship, His poem. How does He create? He's got tools. He uses the Bible. He uses prayer. He uses suffering. But He always is bringing good works. Good works through the church. Now hear me. It's faith alone that justifies, but the faith that justifies can never be alone. Hear me again. You're not saved by your works. Faith alone is that justifies, but a faith that justifies can never be alone, because if you believe, there will come this good work through you. You'll be different. And God will raise up a church that'll be different, that'll be new, that'll be fresh, that God's moving. This whole pandemic thing is helping us to adjust the church. It is. It's shaken us to our core. What is essential? What must be? What do we need to have? What must we have? What should we do that we haven't been doing? You see, the Spirit of God is at work writing a new poem with His church. And God begins to use you as His workmanship. As I said, I was yesterday in Birmingham doing a wedding. We went over to the mall for a few minutes. And I was waiting, and I saw my wife. She was over there, and I waited a little while. I could tell she was having an interesting conversation with the lady, the salesperson. So finally I went over and she introduced me to her. It was a lady from her hometown is Jerusalem, Israel. And Liz began to talk to her. Found out she was a Christian. We just almost had church right there in the middle of the mall. We began to ask her about this and that. And Liz finally said, "Oh, my favorite place when I visit your country is Masada." And her eyes just lit up. She said, "Oh, yes, yes." She said, "They take all of the military leaders up to Masada. It's there that they commission those leaders." And we began to ask her about her faith, and she said, "Yes." Somebody we'd never met, halfway around the world, they were sisters in Christ. Immediately. It was a new relationship. And God brings the world right here to Pensacola through the Navy, military, and other ways. This week I had a funeral for a lady from Massachusetts. She talked funny. Really funny. We talked about her, didn't we, Charles? It's a funeral. I'd always see her, and she had a big smile on her face. And I said, "Where are you from in South Georgia? I can't get that accent." She'd look at me. Say, "Oh, preacher. From Boston? From Jerusalem? From the West Coast to the East? From around the world? God's got His church. And He's writing a verse. He's writing a poem. You, listen to me now, you watching, you here, you are God's workmanship. God works through you, through us. And when the Spirit of God moves, He's creating a new church. And he's doing that right in the midst of Olive. There is a young generation. One of them will preach at 11 here today. Another one tomorrow night at 6. Tuesday night, one of our young men out of our pastor's group. Now, if you think God hadn't got a spiritual sense of humor, this boy preaching Tuesday night that I've been training is a graduate or about to be of Pensacola Christian College. There was a day when you couldn't even come here if you went to school over there. That's right. And now Tim is here. I told him, I said, son, you have shattered the stained glass ceiling. And they've allowed him to come over and take some classes, and we train him up. You don't want to miss Tuesday. He's a preaching machine. He spoke to our deacons last week. We just gave him 10 minutes. He almost tore his pockets off his pants. He was just, you know, ready to go. He tried to keep his hands in his pockets so he'd slow down a little. And then Wednesday night, there's a young man coming to preach here that works for us at the North American Mission Board. He preaches almost every night of the year. Shane Pruitt. God's touch is on him. Young people just get saved all over this nation. I invited Shane weeks and weeks and weeks ago. He's going to be here on Tuesday. Listen to me, church. God's growing up right underneath us, the next generation. He's adding the next generational verse to the poem called Olive. And those of you that are as old as I am or older need to welcome the new verse. I said you need to welcome the new verse and help it and train it. Don't you dare pour cold water on it. Pour gasoline on it. Pray for it. Encourage it. He said, Pastor, but they may do something that's unorthodox. Have you ever? Amen. If you hadn't, you should have. Every now and then we need some unorthodoxy to straighten out the orthodox so we get the dox back in the church. That's the doxology, the glory unto God Himself. I'm here to tell you that God's moving. Those kids met yesterday and they're out in the street. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's moving. You say, well, Pastor, what do we have to do to get in on this? One thing. I know you pray, you read your Bible, you invite the lost, you share the gospel, but if you want to get in on the move of God, you got to lift your sail. Lift the sail. Lift the sail. And when the wind comes and you got your sail up, God's going to take us where we need to go. There's a rudder on that thing. But the power is in the wind. It's in the breath. It's in the move of Holy God. I read yesterday of a young man who was given the assignment to take his battleship for the first time out of the harbor to the next station. He had never piloted the big ship out of harbor to the sea to go to the next port. They said he was wonderful. He was phenomenal. He had done all his homework. He'd been trained and trained, and he was ready. And they said he took it right out. Just as he got past the last buoy, he said he got a radio message. It was the captain. He said, "Son, you've done a phenomenal job. Absolutely. Absolutely fantastic. But you forgot one thing." He said, "Sir, what? What?" He said, "I'm the captain of that ship. I'm still on shore. You sailed without the captain. You never sail without the captain." He said, "I've never been trained to put this thing in reverse before. Hear me, church. You may do it all right, but we dare not sail without our captain. And that captain is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. He is to be Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all." Make sure you're sailing with you. Sail ready. And when God blows, catch the breath. And make sure the captain is on board saying, "Now's the time, this is the way. Walk in it." As we begin this day of these several services, 6 all total in these 4 days, are you a saved man? Ladies, gentlemen, are you clean? Are you a part of the church? God is moving, and he's creating a new thing. His mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. Every morning. In a moment, we're going to stand to sing a song. When we sing it, "I'm going to this table. If you need to be saved, join this church. Come in repentance, come right there. Or just come to this altar." You can sing with John. As we sing these first couple of stanzas, you come and, or you can leave and go to a table out in the foyer. They'll be glad to talk with you there. I'm glad to get with you right here. Now, these are nutty days. I'll be down here and I'll have on my mask. We have to be careful. We be wise. It's good. It's okay. If you feel comfortable that way, you do it. If not, okay too. But don't dare miss God this day. Don't miss him. Come to him. He'll save you. Come to the church, we receive you. Mm-hmm. Come to the altar. He will cleanse you of all your sin. I'm going to pray. John begins to sing. You step out this day and you come. And let's lift our sails and say, oh God, we want to catch the breath of heaven as you do a new thing among us. Father, save the lost. Father, cleanse the saved. Father, revive the church. Oh God, do a work in the shepherd and the sheep. We give you this week and ask, oh God, for movement to come. Blow, oh breath of heaven, I pray. In Jesus' name. We're on our feet, John singing. You are coming unto Christ. Come to the altar, come to his church, come to confession. You come just now. Amen.